Kum lenin a blat gemara. Today's blat is kuf mem test. Let's go to the Mishnah again. Kuf mem chesam and beis on the bottom. So we learned so far. We're talking about things that has to do with speech. So we talked about if you want to borrow something from somebody, you have to be very careful the words you use, because if you use the words leiva, they might write it down. So therefore, you should use the word shoyel, even though you might be borrowing it and not returning the original thing. So the word shoyel is the wrong word. But the fact that you're using the word shoyel reminds him that you shouldn't write it down. So I'm just showing you, say, we're talking about even when you buy things, you don't say, I want to buy this, and then you make a cheshbon after Shabbos. You say, I want to borrow it. And then after Shabbos, you make the cheshbon. The shoyel refers to all that. And then Shchunada says, but if, let's say, in Yiddish or in English, there's no difference between the word shoyel and loiva, then you should say, tendly, give me, even though you mean borrow. So you make a shinui. Let me make a cheshbon afterwards. Okay, so we are up to another Mishnah here again. Talking about if you have guests in your house and you have a list of all the guests that you want to invite, you shouldn't write it down. And why not? And read it on Shabbos. Says the Mishnah, you can calculate or tabulate the people, your guests, and your menu, orally. Don't write down. Don't even write down your menu so you remember what every single thing has to be. We'll soon see why. Number one. Number two. Meifis Adam im banav im bnei beise al shulchan. That a person can make a lottery on the table about which part of the food you get, the portions you get. The way we read the Mishnah right now, we're talking about even with your own family. Don't make a gamble. You know, some people end up with bigger pieces, some people end up with smaller pieces, because it looks like you're playing cards, as we'll see. Umatkilin chaloshin al hakotchim. You can make goyrolos on kachim between the kainim, who's going to work, and so on. Avaloy al amonis, and not on the portions, and we'll see, they're talking about the portions from Friday, you haven't done anything, you want to do it on Shabbos. So first the Gemara says, my time, what in the world is the reason you cannot have a list of guests? Is Rabibi, Yom Rabibi says, Gzei Deshem Yimchek. We are worried, if you have a list of guests, you give it to your shamash to call people. What happens, you're reading through the list and you realize that you don't have enough food for everybody. So you can say, oh, well, who can we not invite? And you're going to erase those names. We're scared you're going to erase the names. The Rishonim already asked, and even if you erase the names, it's only Midrabbanan, because you're being mekalkel, you're ruining. Ma'atayri, you're not chai for erasing unless you plan to write on that same space. Nevertheless, because it's so common that people erase things, therefore we were worried. It's a gzeidah sheshkiach. So we're aware that you might erase the names. And I guess with the menu as well. You realize you don't have enough of the salad, so you're going to take it off the menu. Or you're going to change it from one part of the menu to the other part of the menu, so we're scared. That's why you can't do it. Now, if, according to that reason, then it would seem that if you have, let's say, name cards, you put it on the table, not a problem. Let's say you don't want to invite somebody, you just take that name card and throw it and dispose of it. You don't have to erase anything. So you should be able to. However, Abaye says the reason is Gzeida, we are worried, Shema Yikra Bishtadi Had Yaitis. We are worried that if we allow you to read these names, we're also going to start reading contracts of ordinary people, which is to do with sales. According to Rashi over here, it means contracts of sales. Rashi in other places says it means even letters. Even letters, even if not contracts, say, we don't want you to read letters on Shabbos either. We already discussed, we had a Tosis there who argued with Rashi, says you're allowed to read letters on Shabbos because you don't know what it says in them, and there might be something which is very important, and you'll be unsettled the rest of Shabbos, or it might be matters of a koach nefesh. Anyway, in Shulchan Aruch, it says basically that you shouldn't read, read documents, you shouldn't perhaps read letters unless you think it might be something important. And then there's a big argument in Shulchan Aruch, in not Shulchan Aruch, in Zachroini, Shvus Yaakov said you're allowed to read newspapers on Shabbos. Others say you should not because you might read the business section. Nobody's worried about the sports section. They didn't know it existed then. And there's a machlekes still today if you're allowed to read newspapers on Shabbos or not. Because maybe you want to read the news for anything important is going on. And so therefore you're allowed to do that according to Tosfos. Okay. Now, what's the difference? Either way, you're not allowed to read these things. So why would what's chilik if it's because you might erase, or the reason is because you might read Shtadi Hadiatis? The Kosovo Kaisel, let's say, was written on a wall midly and it's very high up. So in other words, you can't reach it, you can't erase it. You might erase it, there's no chash. So what do you then you can have all those names that you can't reach. In other words, in a place where you cannot erase, there's no concern. Ulamanda on Hashem Yikra, the one who says that you might reach Tari Adyaitis, Chai Shinan was still worried. Doesn't matter how high you're reading over there, next time you read contracts. Says the Gemara, and why isn't each one also concerned with the other opinion? For example, a man Dama Shem Yivchon says you might erase it, and if it's a wall very high up, it should be all right. But they should still worry. You might reach Shadar Yaitis. Neiches Shem Yikri, you might reach Shadar Yaitis. And the Rishonim ask again. Shadar Yaitis is only Midrabanan. You're reading a contract only Midrabanan because you might write. So what is the problem? So why are you making an Isra top of an Isra de Rabbanon? And they answer that L'chatchila, when they made the Gzera of Shtari Yaitis, they included any other kind of reading as well. So furthermore, the Shema Yivcha, another problem we have. Even you want to say the walls raised high. So first of all, the walls raised high above. Why isn't he worried that he might reach Shtari Yaitis? Second of all, we learned already before that you're not allowed to read to a candlelight, and because you might tilt the candle. And then we said that once the Chacham made a Gzera, it makes no difference if it's 10 stories high. You're not allowed to read by the candlelight, because once you make a gzeda, it's loy plug. We don't make a distinction, one case or another case. So the chayda over here also, who cares if it's written on the wall very high and you cannot erase? But it's all be asin. You tell me if it's raised very high and you cannot physically erase it, there's no problem. But time to be learned, you're not allowed to read before candlelight. But Amar Rabba came along and said that afilu gavoya shtei kaimas, even 2 stories high, afilu gavoya shtei madois, even if it's 2 saddle lengths high, afilu asara batim zegav, is 10 stories one on top of the other, lo yikri, no, you cannot reach it. Once you make a gzeda, it's lo plug. So l'chayda goes back to the original question. What is the difference if the reason is because you might erase it, or the reason is you might reach tali yaitis? They all agree that you're not allowed to read. The difference is, the Gemara could have said, there are a number of other differences, by the way. Well, Gemara could have said the difference is, let's say you give it to someone else to read the name, not yourself. Now that someone else has no right to erase anything. So therefore, if the reason is because you might erase, that someone else can read it. There's no problem. But if the reason is that you might read, that someone else cannot read it because he might end up reading Shtar Yaitis. Or another thing you're trying to say, what about if 2 people read it together? If you're worried about you might erase, one will remind the other. If you're worried about you might read on your own spare time contracts, that's still a problem. Anyway, the matter goes down this track. Alika Benai, the difference is, what about the cost of Akajurul Fakert? Umitasi, it's very low. No, but you could erase it. But it's written on the wall. L'manda Hashem Yikri, what worry about? You might erase it. Abri Chai Shinan is a concern. L'manda Hashem Yikri, one says you might read it, might read contracts. Lei Chai Shinan, we're not worried. Because you're reading things on the wall, you're not going to then read things which is permanent. A permanent fixture does not necessarily mean you're going to read papers that are portable. Lei Chai Shinan, Guda B'shtar Le Michlev, a wall. And then to say because you're allowed to read it fixed on the wall, you should also be able to read contracts. People are not going to make that leap. Says the Gemara, okay, so you want to say according to Abaye, the one who says because of contracts, you're allowed to read from the wall. But why is Abaye worried about erasing as well? Well, the man, why is he worried about erasing? It goes back to what's a chilik. At the end of the day, each one is worried for the other one as well. Eli Kabanai, the difference is the chayik atavla v'apinkas, that you etched it into a board, you etched it in, it's carved in. So you can't really erase. Lamanda Majim Khalif, you're not worried. And the way the Poskim say it's talking about it's graved, engraved. But if it's boiled, if it's sticking out, you can always chop it off. We're still worried. So it's engraved. And if the worry is about erasing, it's not a problem. If you read that, you're gonna read, and this is a portable thing. So if you're gonna read here, you're gonna read also on a contract, Khashinu are worried. It says the Gemara, but so what? Even the one who says that you might erase, why isn't he also where you might read contracts? So he should still say it's forbidden. So again, there's no machlekes. You're going to say that he holds, the person who says that the reason is reading, he holds that tavla upinkas b'shtara le'michlev, that if you have something on a board, you're not going to then think that you're allowed to read on a piece of paper on a parchment. But Tanya, we learned, mona amoina odom kama b'finim kama chud, you can have a list. Which people are going to be inside? You have a big sudah. The people inside the house, the people outside the house. The people inside the house are the more chashuv people. The people outside who are vulnerable to the elements, or it's very hot out there, are the less chashuv. So you have a list who sits on the head table, who sits on the other tables. The kama manas asid l'neach lifneim, and how many portions you plan to put before each person, the menu. Is miksav sha'abo gabi kaisel. You're allowed to only read it if it's written on the wall. Avlei miksav gabi tala pinkas. Here it says, you're allowed to read it if it's on the wall, but you're not allowed to read it if it's on a tavla. That's a brisa, which means everyone has to agree. You're not allowed to read it if it's on a tablet. Now let's understand what we're talking about. Hey, Chedam, what are we talking about? If you tell me if it's written, you tell me you're allowed to read if it's written on a wall, and you're not allowed to read written on a tablet. But why is it that you're allowed to read it on a wall? Maishnahocha. If it's written on a wall, you can also erase it. So what's going on here? Says the Gemara. Elalah must be the chayik. Why are you permitted to read it from a wall? Because it must be engraved. So we see that if it's engraved in a wall, you're allowed to read it. But engraved on this tavla that's being moved about, you're not allowed to read it. So we see that what? That everybody, and it's a braisa, which means it's called everybody. And says clearly that if it's engraved in the tavla, you're not allowed to read it. So even the one who says the main reason is because you'd erase it, agrees also we're worried about reading contracts. And even if it's engraved, we're worried if you read here. So it goes back to the original question, when do they argue? Because if it's engraved in a wall, then everyone knows you're allowed to read it. And if it's engraved in a tablet, everyone knows you're not allowed to read it. So when is there an argument? So we go back to what we said originally. We're talking about it's written on a wall. There's a lot of different ways of learning Pshat in Gemara. We're going to learn Rashi. It's written on a wall, but it's very high up. So, if it's written on a wall and very high up, there's no way. The question is there an issue here? And we're going to hold now that if you write on a wall, we're not worried that you are going to read it on a contract. The problem with writing on a wall is you might erase it. The thing is what? It's too high. You can't touch it. So therefore, Bibi says, doesn't matter. Le plug. Once the Rabbanan said you're not allowed to read the writing on the wall, you can never read it. But Abaya argues and he says, that I don't agree with Rabba. I hold that when there's a Gzeira Rabbanan, it's limited only to where the Gzeira applies. Over here, if it's very high up and you cannot erase it, there's no problem. And I'm not worried about that you can read contracts because this is a wall. People do not make a mistake between a wall and a contract. So Moshe says, look, a kashal of the Rabba, the Rabba Tanoi. They're arguing, it's a machlech Tanoi. So come the way Rashi learns that Abaya and Abibi's argument is not so much in the reason, even within the reason of Shema Yimcha, they're arguing where there is no possibility of Yimcha, for example, what's written on a wall very high up, there's no access there, is it still forbidden or not? According to the Bibi, it is, and according to Abaya, it isn't. And that's why Tais doesn't like this pshat. But the Gemara says, where do you find a machlekes tanaim, whether we agree with Rabba that once you place a gzeda, it always applies or not? The Tanya, we learned, moine adam es orchav, a person can tabulate his guest as parporeis and his menu, mepiv, you can say it orally, avalemenachsav, not in writing. Rab Acha comes along and is mater miksav, because it's written on the wall, you're allowed to. And we just concluded, everybody holds it, we're worried about erasing. So why would Abacha permit writing on the wall? Heichadami, ilema de kosev metat, if it's written low down where you could erase, leichashem yimchag, everyone's worried about you might erase. El alav de kosev umidli, must be talking about, it was written and raised very high, you cannot reach. And that's the machlekes, Tanakam, Abacha. Ushmamina de rabba, Tanoya, Tanakam says we're still worried, because once you make a gzeda le plug, it makes no difference if the gzeda is applicable in this case or not. And Abacha says, no, since you cannot touch it, the gzeda doesn't apply there. Shmamina has a good proof. Says him about it further, and I can tell you that this machlekes of Rab Acha and the Tanakama is actually a machlekes before. There's actually a machlekes of Tanoim before then. And what is that? The Tanya we learned, Ein Royin B'Mare B'Shabbos. Interesting, Rashi says Mare is a mirur. You're not allowed to look into a mirror on Shabbos. On Shabbos. Sounds like during the week you're allowed to. There's actually a big machlekes in the Tosfos and others in Avodah Zarah. If a man is allowed to look in a mirror at all because of Leisilbush, now those who say that you're not allowed to, and those who say that you're allowed to, and Shonoruch rules that if the minig is that men do, then you're allowed to. If the minig is men don't, you're not allowed to. And how they learn the Gemara here, why only on Shabbos? If men are not allowed to, then we're talking about women here. And if men are allowed to, we're talking about everybody. But on Shabbos, you shouldn't look in the mirror. That's what Tanakama says. We'll soon see why not. And the mayor is mad that he allows. I agree with you, said the mayor. A portable mirror, you're not looking on Shabbos. But but if it's fixed in the wall, you're allowed to. Now, let's understand the logic. What's the reason why if the mirror is fixed in the wall, you're allowed to? Now, what happens when you look in the mirror? You want to see if you're well-kempt and not disheveled. And if you see, let's say, some hairs are out of place, and you'll take a scissor and you trim it down. So on Shabbos, if it's fixed in the wall, by the time you go get your scissor, you remember, hey, Shabbos, what am I doing? No, and if it's portable, you still need to go get a scissor, and you'll remember. What's the difference? Maishna hakavu v'okayso. What's why is it fixed in the wall? That hachirachi matka, you remember, she'ni kavu na mea hachirachi matka. If it's not fixed in the wall, you remember. Says the Gemara, hacha b'marish shel matches askinah. We're talking about a metal mirror, so the mirror itself can be your knife. Why is it a metal mirror is forbidden? A metal mirror is forbidden. Because a person will use it to remove the hairs that are attached. You don't have to. So if it's a portable mirror, that will become your scissor. But if it's a fixed mirror, says a mirror, you cannot really use that. So therefore, you're going to have to go get a scissor. You're going to remember. So what we see, Rav Meir says, since the gzeira does not apply to a fixed mirror, it doesn't apply there. And the Tanakhama says all mirrors are forbidden, even though in a fixed mirror, even though it's made out of metal, it can't. You know, you'll have to go get it in a scissor, and the gzeira doesn't apply. It doesn't matter. So we see it's the same machlekes. In halacha and Shulchan Aruch, interesting. There's a big machlekes in the Paskim whether all mirrors are forbidden. According, in other words, when we say leplug is how do we say leplug? Is leplug the same type of mirror, but leplug whether it's fixed in the wall or whether it's loose? Or leplug means the word mirror. I don't care what kind of mirror it is, if it's a metal mirror or not a metal mirror. All mirrors are forbidden. In halacha lepoil, it's only metal. Talk about what we learned. This is another interesting gemara here. Ksav, continuing what we said before about writing. And we're scared if you read certain things, you're going to read contracts. Ksav hamahalech tachas atzuda. You go and see, there's a painting, and there's a caption underneath it, in written. The tachas hadiyot nois, or under these illustrations. Osir, it is totally forbidden. You're not allowed to read. You're not allowed to read the captions underneath a painting or something on Shabbos. Now, why aren't you allowed to read a caption on Shabbos? He said like this, because of shtaris. But furthermore, the diyot and the atzma, the painting itself, you're not allowed to look at paintings at all. It says, al tifnu el ha'elilim, don't turn to the gods. What does that have to do with paintings? My Talmud, Amar Avchanin, al tifnu el medatchen. So Rashi learns, the way Rashi learns means all paintings are not allowed to look at. Why look at something that was conceived by mankind when you can look at the original, which is what Eibishter made? Hamshamayim is sapin kavod keil. The heavens, they tell us the story of Hashem, his handiwork. Don't look at things conceived by people's minds. Tosfos learns that it's only forbidden to see paintings from this pasuk elilim if it was made for the purpose of idol worship. But if it's not made for the purpose of idol worship, so the Sistine Chapel and some of these other Michelangelo religious paintings, questionable whether you're allowed to see them according to Tosfos. Is that considered for idols, for idol purpose Christianity, for the religion or not? Even though he made some, he pushed the envelope a little bit and so on, questionable whether you're allowed to see it or not. And the Rambam says the reason why I look at paintings is because you're not learning. It's distracting. You're not allowed to learn. You're not going to be learning at the time. We already had a whole machlekes a month ago between if you're allowed to read books on Shabbos. And the Taser says, I have a question whether you're allowed to read during the week because you're not learning Torah at the time. But interesting, the Ramah brings down halacha that it depends if it's written in Lashon Kodesh or in English. If it's written in Lashon Kodesh, even though the book itself might be a waste of time, but you're learning the language, and that's very important to learn Lashon Kodesh. And not everybody, many poskim disagree with the Ramah. But that's a big cool of the Ramah about reading Lashon Kodesh. And then, and so on. Says the Gemara Vayter, Mephis Adam in Bonav, you're allowed to make a lottery with the kids. It sounds like from the Mishnah, in Bonav, in Bnei Beisa, in. With your own kid, you're allowed to make a lottery. Vim Achala, you have a guest in your house, don't draw a lottery on the table, who gets one portion? My time, what's the chilek, your kids or guest? Says the Gemara, Kid Abhuda Marav, Abba Shmuel. When you have guests or other people at the table, makpidin, we're not talking about necessarily guests, we're talking about people that might be, are paying or something for the food that they're eating. So b'nei chabura, these people here who are sitting at your table, generally speaking, makpidin zelze. If you're dividing your spoils, let's say you're part of a group, and therefore you're dividing the table, and you say, no, let's make a lottery, who ends up with what portion, they put a platter on the middle of the table, a grill platter, who gets this, who gets that. So he says here, is, what do you call it, you make a lot, each one is makpid on each other to make a Mishum Midah. They want to make sure they measure that they have exactly the amount that they, you know, that they're entitled to. Mishum Mishkel weight, Mishum Minyan because of counting. So all of these things, first you're not allowed to measure and all these things on Shabbos and Yom Tov. And also, it looks more like you're doing a business deal, you're doing like selling. So first of all, the problem is Mekach Memcha. Because by your family, they're not particular. So therefore, there's no Mekach Memcha. Over here, they're very makpid. I want to make sure that I get my, I'm a fifth here with five people. I want to make sure I get a fifth. So therefore, it looks like you're buying and selling. You can't, you know, you're bartering. So that's a problem of Mekach Memcha. And then Mishum Lovin Upayid Miyantin. The other problem is because like they're bartering and we're going to pay back Mekach Cheshbon afterwards. And that is the problem that you might write it down. So there's two issues here. One is Mekach Memcha. It looks like buying and selling. And one is that you might write. Ukedivrei Besilah. If you follow Hillel, even more than that, Af Mishum Ribis. If you follow Hillel, there's also an issue of Ribis, and that is because we spoke about yesterday that. If I'm taking food and I'm paying you back with food, could be that the food that the price went up and I'm paying you back more than what I got. So it looks like ribbis as well. A lot of problems. So you should only do it with your family. Says Igmari Hachi, if so, Bonav Rebeisa Nami, why are you worried about the exact same thing with Bonav Rebeisa, regarding ribbis and all these other issues, like Mekach HaMemcha? Says Igmari, Bonav Rebeisa Hain, you know the reason is, Kid Rab Yehuda Marav, will follow Rab Yehuda in the name of Rav. And what's Rab Yehuda Marav say? Amar Yehuda, Amar Rav, he said, "Muter lahalvez banav ubnei beis beribis." So before we had Rabbi Yehuda, name of Shmuel, who said, "Why you can't have strangers because it looks like Mekach Memcha," and now we have like Rabbi Yehuda, who says, "Name of Rav, but that your own family, you're allowed to lend them money with interest. Why you're allowed to lend them with interest? Kedei lahat imon tam beribis. Let them feel what it hurts." How it hurts to charge someone interest. So when they grow up and they have their own businesses, when they lend money, they won't lend other people interest. They don't understand it. Actually, in halach is a big machlekist, and halach is not like Rav Yehuda. Others argue and say that if you're going to take your kids and you give them ribbis, they might say, oh, that's how you make a lot of money. On the contrary, you open their eyes to something they never would have encountered before, and dafke, they are going to lend with ribbis. And this is a very interesting argument in educating a child. Is the best way to educate a child to let them go through and find out for themselves how terrible it is, so therefore they'll grow up and mature and they won't realize they shouldn't do these things? Or make sure they don't do it in the first place and don't give them the option, because maybe they'll learn, they'll take it all the way. You expose them to things that they weren't exposed to otherwise, and you think that the result will be that they'll learn their own lesson and they won't do it. But could be the lesson they'll learn is, not so bad. So you got to be very careful. So your own family, but at least over here, the whole thing's in Rabban anyway, so it's Avak Ribbis, we're going to be making. With your own family, you're allowed to lend with Ribbis, so your own family, you're allowed to make this kind of a lottery, and even though you'll pay, let's say the kid will pay back tonight, who cares? And the reason why you're allowed to do it in your family is there's no Ribbis there anyway. In reality, there's no Ribbis, because all the kids' money is yours, so you're paying from your right pocket to your left pocket, or vice versa. Says the Gemara, if so, if your own family living Jews anyway, so how come you don't allow them? You know, some people end up bigger portion or small portion. Who cares? There's no business here. It's all your anyway. It all belongs to you anyway. Says the Gemara, right, but your own family allowed to, and there's a few words missing in the Mishnah, and we read the Mishnah wrong. The Chsuri Mechs, a few words are missing. V'hachiktani. Meifis Adam in Banav in Bnei Beisai ala Shulchan. A person can make a lottery with his own family by the table and draw lots. Who ends up with what portion? Afilu Manak Doyle Kenegin Manak Tana. Even larger portions versus smaller portions, and too bad. My timer, why? We follow Rabbi Yehuda Barav, because it's all yours. In Banav in Bnei Beisai in Bnei Machen. With other people in Allah made this kind of arrangement. And my timer, like the other Rabbi Yehuda who said, name is Shmuel. And which is what? Which is the name of Shmuel? It looks more like business, and also by borrowing it, look, you might write it down. Mono gedoyle kenege montana, says the Gemara, ad b'choy la'cheli moser. And then the Gemara said, but you know, drawing a lottery, forget about Shabbos, drawing a lottery, some people end up with larger portions, some of the smaller portions, is usher my time emission kuvius, like playing cards, gambling. Because the only reason why I entered the lottery is I was sure that I would get the large portion. If I would have known the chatchil that I'm going to end up with a small portion, I never would have went in the lottery. So therefore, whoever ends up taking it is like Zayla. That's how Rashi learns. Other Rishonim hold this is not Zayla at all. In fact, we learned in the Mishnah in the Chof Dal and Beis Din Sanhedrin that the only problem is if you do this as a source of panasa. But from time to time, it isn't, because the people know that there's a chance that they're going to lose. So Chatchil, when they go in, they're prepared to lose. Anyway, interesting discussion. Matin Chaloshin, you're allowed to draw a lottery when it comes to Kachim and to which portions you get, but not for Manas. What does it mean? My Abeloi Manas. Rabbi Yaakov, the son of the daughter of Yaakov, said, Abeloi, not sure what happened to why we don't mention his father's name. Obviously, there must be a story to it. similar to what we had by Shmuel, Shmuel's daughter. Avaloy al amana shochel, but you're not allowed to, on the portions of the weekday, let's say Friday, to Shabbos, or Erev Yom Tov to Yom Tov, you're not allowed to draw lots on Yom Tov to work it out. You should, only on the Yom Tov Karbanos can you draw these lots, but not on the Erev Yom Tov Karbanos, and you could have done yesterday. You left it till today, no lots.
Pshit, just by the way,
I
don't know who this Pirush is, but on the side here of the Gemara, it says, Tzorich li is ra, rather than bra.
I know, okay, thank you. Thank you very much for that.
So actually, son was not the most appropriate guy.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Fine. Okay, thank you. Says the Gemara Pshita Ne'mar Tema. Now this is interesting because the I guess sort of a paradox is koinim. We say that koin is an ish chesed, and we have, you know, although we say koin is ish chesed, but then we learn more about basa that koinim have a terrible temper, and that's why their gittin are sewn up, because once they give a get to their wife, they can't change their mind, so it should take time until she opens it. And here the Gemara says, "Ma would have I would have thought, how you look see?" Because it says in pasuk, it says in the pasuk, the amcha. Your people, the Hosea screaming at the people, that all Eden are kemerivi koinim, just like koinim, who constantly quarreling with each other. So we see that koinim are big balei machlokes. So I would have thought to avoid an argument between the koinim, even though they could have done an Erev Yom Tov, but they didn't, but to avoid the machlokes, I feel the manos ronami. That even the portions of the Erev Yom Tov, we should do make the great on Yom Tov, that's it. Kamash Malan, that we don't say that. The literal pasuk is that people who fight with koinim, but here the Gemara is learning the koinim themselves fight with each other more than anyone else. So it's just interesting how on one hand they're each chesed, on the other hand we know they have a terrible temper, and they're constantly quarreling with each other, and yet they're each chesed. It's as if they're each chesed to, I don't know, to themselves. It's hard to work out. It always bothered me. These koinim have like a split personality. If you step in there with the toe the wrong way, the chesed is gone, and there's something else that comes out. Anyway, talking about Rabbi Yaakov, the next Gemara is going to be very, very strange, but this is what the Gemara is, and even the Mashal doesn't have much on it. Says the Gemara, V'om Rabbi Yaakov b'rei Rabbi Yaakov. So Rabbi Yaakov again, the grandson of Yaakov, said, Kol shechaved einenu shal yodim. If somebody got punished because of you, they did something wrong to you and they got punished. You will not go to Gan Eden. Some say, Dafke, if you daven to the Eibishter, that person should be punished. But if you didn't, even though we had a few times in Baruch and other places that Amoraim daven that other people should die or whatever, but generally you shouldn't daven for someone else, even though they're bad, let the Eibishter take care of it and do whatever he thinks is right. But if you daven that someone else should get punished, even though the guy deserves it, you, if that guy gets punished, you also forfeit part of your chelik with Hashem. Because someone got punished because of you. And the Gemara gives you examples. How do we know that? It's a strange statement to make. It says the Gemara, Ilem, is it? Bishum Nechsiv, it says in the Pasuk that Vayeman Hashem, the Abishah said, Mi Yefates Achav. Achav has to die. He has to go to war. Who was going to induce Ya'ech Achav and tell him above Maisa, the Ya'al, that he should go up to war, the Yipul, but Ramaz Gilad, and he will die in the Ramaz Gilad? Who's going to give him above Maisa? Different malachim came along and spirits came along, and each one said, I will convince him this way, that way. The Yotzeror came out the spirit. Now we don't know who the spirit is. The Yamed Lifnei Hashem and stood up before the Eibishter. Vayomer, he said, Ani Afetenu, I will induce him. And he said, Vayomer, he said, Eitzei, I will go. Vahayisi ruach sheker b'fi kol neviv, I will go to all of his prophets and give them this false prophecy. And Vayomer, and he will say, Tefata. The gam, I will say that you seduced the gam tuchel, and you can say go out va'asei kain. So Hashem then said, and I will go and give all the b'maises, and the Abishah said, okay, go. The Abishah gave him permission. He said, Tefata, you go, you convince him, and the gam tuchel, you will succeed. But say go out va'asei kain. What means say go out? That's what we can learn from. But after you do this, because Achav will get punished, even though he's a terrible Rasha, you are going to die. Now, who is this Ruach? Now, who is Novus, a Israeli? Novus had a vineyard there that Achav really, really wanted, but he did, and Novus refused to sell it. So Yezebel convinced Achav, made up a story that Naboth, you know, committed treason against Achav, against the king, deserved to die. And they killed him, and he took away his vineyard. And now the spirit of Naboth wanted to take revenge against Achav, and he had every right to, because Achav killed Naboth for no reason. And yet, what did the Abisha say? Say, you'll do that, but say, go out. I don't want you to be my mechitza. So therefore, go out. And there was one Navi who was telling Achav that Baba Maisa, but he didn't listen to the real Navi. Says the Gemara, who said the reason is because Achav got killed. There's another reason, because he lied. Maybe the reason is because somebody who tells false should not stand in front of me. And you told falsehoods. El Mahacha, from another pasuk, we're going to introduce a thing about Nebuchadnezzar, which is quite crazy stuff. Says the Gemara, Savata, Koloin, that your shame has filled you, make covered much more than your honor. We'll soon see what actually he did that caused him his shame. But basically, we can learn the Gemara that every country that was under his dominion, he went to the king and he used to rape them. He had Mishkev Zachar with every single king, and he used to draw lots which king he's going to rape that day. And you'll soon see what happened. And so your shame is greater than you covered. Shesei gam ata, drink also you, the he'orel, and you will become an orel, uncircumcised. What's going on here? So that's going to cover. Nebuchadnezzar, shesei gam ata, the he'orel. Who are we saying that you should drink and you will become an orel? That's Tzidkiyo. Tzidkiyo was one of the victims of Nebuchadnezzar, and this is what happened. Chodom. That's what the Gemara is trying to say here. So, what do you mean the shame is more than the covered? We'll see in a minute. Says the Gemara, how can you tell me that this whole pasuk, half the pasuk is Nebuchadnezzar, and the other half of the pasuk is talking about Tzidkiyo? First of all, the kulu krav Nebuchadnezzar. The full pasuk is talking about Nebuchadnezzar. Why are you changing it? Well, furthermore, Tzidkiyo tzadika. Tzidkiyo is a victim. My have a little meva. What do you tell him? Stay, drink as if he did something wrong and go pursue it. He had no breda. What did he do wrong? He was a victim. And he's a tzaddik. The Omer Yudhim Rab, Beshar Shabik is Oysa Rosha Lassel Oysa Tzaddik Kach. It's clearly that the Yudhim Rab, that Tzidkiyo was a tzaddik. And he called him a tzaddik when Nebuchadnezzar, you know, prayed on him. So again, you cannot bring a raya that, you know, Tzidkiyo, because Nebuchadnezzar got punished because of you, you're also going to be considered Yosef Rosh. Can't be. Elam Ha'ocha. So where do we learn out this whole concept that if someone gets punished because of you, you'll also get hurt? Elam Ha'ocha, from the following pasuk. It says in the pasuk, Gam Anosh Letzadik, if I punish somebody because of you, Letzadik Letayv. Even though I'm doing it for a tzaddik, is letoiv, it's not a good thing. If I'm punishing someone else because of you, it's not a good thing. Because you're davening and someone else should get punished. We're only talking about if a tzaddik, let's say, davens that someone else should get punished on his account. So we're saying if letoiv means, it's like ra. Ain letoiv ra. And letoiv means bad. Uksiv, it says, so now that we've decided that if a tzaddik davens someone else should get hurt, it's considered bad, and it says in the Fetish in the Pasuk, Ki loy ke'el chavetz resha, that the Eibusha does not like something bad, loy gul chara, and with the Eibusha they won't live anything bad. Tzaddik ato Hashem, the Eibusha is righteous, loy yogur bim gul chara, that nothing bad should live with you. Now that we said that a tzaddik davens for someone to die on account of hurting him, that tzaddik is considered loy toy, which is tantamount to ra, and the Eibusha says, loy yogur bim gul chara, the Navi says, with the Eibusha nothing bad will live. My mashma the high chaloshim lishna put. First, I want to ask a question. The Mishnah says chaloshim, and we said it means a lottery. Where do you find that the word chaloshim means a lottery? The chesivit says, says the pasuk, Eich nafalta mishamayim, how you fell from the heaven. Hillel ben Shachar, you were shining like the early morning. Digdata, you cut down the others to the ground. Choy leish ala goyim. And you drew lots on the goyim. This is talking about Nebuchadnezzar. What exactly, when it's talking about Nebuchadnezzar, what exactly happened here? Omer Abba Lamashay, Matl Purak de Malchus, that Nebuchadnezzar went around drawing lots on all these leaders of the kingdoms, Leida, Ezeb, Ben Yoim, Shemishka, Zachar. Which king will be his victim that day? And it says, Kol Malche Goyim, all the nations of the goyim, all the leaders of the nations. Omer Abba Yechon said, So that's what he did. He fell down, he cut down people, and he drew a lottery. This is the lottery that he drew. Amar Rabbi Yechon, so we see clearly that every nation, every leader became a victim of this. Amar Rabbi Yechon says, Shenochu Mimishke Zachar. It says in the passage there that Kol Malke Goyim, and so on and so forth. So we say that that when Nebuchadnezzar died, they were relaxed. There's no longer any more Mishke Zachar. While Nebuchadnezzar was alive, he was such a wicked, evil person, nobody dared smile. Shenemet says, Nocha, when he rested, Shoktokohar, the whole world became quiet and would calm down when he died. No, it was when Nebuchadnezzar died, the whole world calmed down. And Pitzkodina, and they opened up with song, they were happy. Mikada, the Hashtavadina, as long as he was alive, nobody was happy. You're not allowed to even go to his house. Shenemet says, "V'se'idim yirokdusham," that the goats will dance over there, and the people will not dance over there, and so on and so forth. Another say means shadim will dance over there, and the shadim will dance over there, and so therefore you shouldn't go there because the shadim, I guess, belong there, and if you're going to go there, then the shadim will leave. So this, since it belongs to se'idim, people shouldn't go there. that's how Rashi learns. Omer Rabbi Yehuda, Omer Rabbi Shlomo Bikish, Shlomo Lasso Tzadik Kach, when Nebuchadnezzar decided that Tzidkiyo should become his victim, Nimshecha Orlosei Sholesh Meyes Amah. His male member grew 300 amas, 300 cubits. V'hoyse Machzeres Al Kol HaMasiba Kula. All these kings that were having a big party, and suddenly his oral stretched out and surrounded the whole party. Shenema, and this is what the pasuk means when it says in the pasuk that you, we said before, that you became full and your shame. So vata kolen mikovet, that your shame was greater than your honor. Shesei gam ata, you should also drink the hey oral. And what do we mean with oral? Oral begemata sholosh meisav. The word oral equals 300. It grew 300 amos. When he went down to Gehenim, everybody in Gehenim got scared. All the people in Gehenim started to scream and shout. Omer said, now he finished all the people in this world, and he's come to Gehenim to continue his terrible deeds and rule over us. Or is he equal to us now? He's as weak as we are, just another one. Shenemar says in Pasuk, Gam ata chulisa chamainu or leinu nimshalto. Did you come here? Are you as weak as we are, or did you come here to rule over us? Yatz the Baska of Amra. Kimel the Baska says, "Mimi na'amta. Who are you nicer than? Rado, go down vishkafte es arelim, and you're going to go and lie down with everybody else, with all the arelim, all the goyim who are there. In other words, you're nobody now. And so he's obviously a terrible person. Says the Gemara." Talking about Nebuchadnezzar, says in the pasuk that Echshavas Negish, how the Negish, the person who bothered everybody, who oppressed everybody, said, went to rest, and Medahava from Dahava. He rested from Dahava. Now, usually Dahava means gold. What does it mean that he rested from Dahava? On Yom Rav, it says, we name Rav, Shafsa Umazu. That not only Nebuchadnezzar, the entire nation of Babel has rested. Sh'amra, that said, Modod. They used to go around telling everybody, to every country that they took over, give us your gold, and measure your gold and bring it here, v'hav and bring it to me, measure your gold, v'hav and bring it to me. And they rested, they stopped. They no longer were in control. The Ikadami, where Dahava is, they rested from Dahava. Sh'amra, Ma'oid, Ma'oid, they would say that, the more and more heavy below me, to bring without any measure. Bring everything you have. Not measured, but bring everything you have. And now they stop, they're no longer in control. And says the Gemara, Urevu Yatira, who softly, and Nebuchadnezzar says that a greater thing has come to me. He had his dream and so on and so forth, and Daniel was basically interpreting his dream. And that he would say to him that we know that when Nebuchadnezzar, for a number of years, he became like an animal. And then when he came back, he became even stronger. And And he says here that he said, when I came back, I became even better. So for 7 years he disappeared, and then he came back. He said, you know what? He said, Hasaftuli, give me more koiches. What do you do now more than you did before? Melamed, Omer Rabbi Yehuda Marab, Yemi Rabbi Yehuda Marab, Rabbi Yehuda Marab, Melamed Sherochav Alari Zocher, comes that he is to ride on top of a male lion, the Kosher Tanin Bereshek, and he would then tie a snake around the head. Around the head of the lion, like, and used the snake as his reins. The Kayim Mashanemer, it says that I not only ruled over mankind, but Gamas Chayes Hasada Nasati Loila of the Yosa gave me the animal kingdom to rule over them as well. That is the story of the Wichad Nebuchadnezzar before his life ended. Okay, thank you.